Jay Jensen, the Deputy Undersecretary for Natural Resources and the Environment, was present. Jensen is the political head of the National Forest Service. He was joined by Victor Vasquez, the Deputy Undersecretary of Rural Development. Both officials report to Tom Vilsack, the President's new Secretary of Agriculture. Councilman George Ridley welcomed the undersecretaries to the Xitgaquan Community House on behalf of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Mayor Scott McAdams also welcomed the delegation, but used his floor time to announce Sitka's readiness to participate in shaping new economies in the nation's forests.
Please look to us as partners. Please look to us as a place on an island where innovation, creativity, imagination can take root and create a movement to inspire the world.
Just 2 weeks earlier, Secretary Vilsack announced that forest policy in the new administration would shift toward restoration of watersheds and habitat to offset the pressures of climate change and toward second-growth forest products industries. Vilsack said that the nation's forests would be involved in new markets for carbon storage and biomass energy. Undersecretary Jensen, who oversees the Forest Service, said this would be the filter through which he would hear Sitkin's input.
In Southeast Alaska in particular, with the abundance of water and with the vastness of the forest, it's clear that there's an intersection point between the water and the climate changes that we're experiencing right now. And the hope is, and this is one that we're hoping to be able to take all across the country, is that by working in those two areas, we're going to be able to make that connection. But how do you translate that from some talk that's up here in the clouds to some actual practicalities on the ground? And for us, that's going to be keenly driven through forest restoration.
Undersecretary for Rural Development Victor Vasquez would be listening for economic opportunity in the new policy.
We need to change the way how we do business. And we do need to pay attention, get on the ground, and work with communities and be flexible and adaptable and meet those communities' needs in a way the community is asking us to do.
For the next 4 hours, that is exactly the opportunity the undersecretaries afforded the community. 31 people spoke in all, many of whom had been invited to do so by the Area Office of Rural Development, and some just members of the public with an active interest in forest policy. Here's an excerpt of what the public told the undersecretaries.
When you go towards thinking of you're going to make the forest resources available for some market-driven opportunities, well, that's it. You know, make the power cheap, the transportation effective, make the resources available, and then let the private sector step in and do the work. So thank you for coming, and I really look forward to sort of a refreshed way of looking at the forest.
The time for industrial clear-cut logging in the Tongass has passed. There's a place for logging in this area, but the priority has to be to repair the damage from the past abuses. We have thousands of watersheds where there's creeks that are blocked to salmon passage. A priority for spending in the Tongass should be to get those streams cleared up.
And that is, you need to make climate change the paramount consideration when considering restoration products. There's removing failed culverts, and then there's harvesting second growth. I think you're both aware that any time you cut a tree or a forest, there is a carbon loss. We simply cannot mitigate our way out of climate change by cutting forests for wood energy or other projects. So I think
in Sitka currently discharges upwards of 17 to 20 million pounds of byproduct from processing and fishing industry in Sitka alone. Until recently, I've talked to quite a number of people over the years. There's opportunity in composting, there's opportunity in biodiesel, there's opportunity even more recently in protein-based products that can now be generated from this byproduct.
My organization, for most of its history, fought against the Forest Service and was in a really confrontational mode. And a lot of that was because mandate for the Tongass is seek to meet market demand for timber. And it was, you fit into this timber wedge because that's what you do as a community and that's what your role is. In Sitka, we're something different. We're not that timber-dependent community, but as you heard, we are a forest-dependent community.
I'd also like to say that I really think that the Forest Service is a prime opportunity moment right now to put the pedal to the metal and put their mouth where it needs to be, I guess, and support this new industry of logging by building their new office here in Sitka using local lumber, putting a biofuel generation facility in, heat the building with biofuels. I'm going to be very disappointed. I think many, many people who support the industry here are going to be very disappointed to see a new office built here in traditional methods with OSB lumber and other lumber that we see coming in out of Canada.
Being the owner of the land here is so critical. It goes beyond just managing the forest. It comes down to the people in Southeast Alaska, because to us, there's not a greater place to live. There's absolutely, and we want to see our children stay here.
And one of the greatest fears that we have in the tourism industry, and I would imagine we share with our compatriots in the fisheries industry, is that we're going to simply just shift the old growth subsidy, which is now over $300,000 to $400,000 per timber job, and just put it into the restoration economy. Now, how does that happen? It happens because the industry has been in steep decline, and we kept the program going as if it was in its glory days. And all we're asking is that you redirect some of that money to things that we know have a positive cost-benefit ratio in the tourism and commercial fisheries industry.
But I would encourage you to look at biomass utilization as a viable source of energy for heating applications in community facilities such as schools, hospitals, prisons, office buildings, and that sort of thing.
I'd like to see us avoiding any kind of combustible renewable energy at every step that we can. We need non-combustion renewable energy. We need hydropower here.
What is very important to realize about Sitka, more than anything, is the unique opportunity we have, because we have only a few doors to this system. We track absolutely everything unconsciously coming in and out of the system. Barges, airplanes, ships, ferries, they all have numbers going both in and out. We have a very small population, which means that data can be collected for the carbon footprint. This is all very tangible, and as a researcher, that is super exciting.
Those were a few of the voices testifying before the Undersecretaries of Agriculture in Sitka on Saturday. The theme was exploring ways to support a diversified economy in the Tongass. In closing, Undersecretary for Rural Development Victor Vasquez said he was impressed with the constructive attitude in Sitka, and he sensed the void created by cutbacks and Forest Service staff in the district. Undersecretary Jay Jensen with the U.S. Forest Service described the session as, quote, one of the most powerful experiences of his brief career. He said he would take back to Washington a notion of how important the fisheries are and how driven Sitkans are to reconnect with the land. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.